about him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now, we want to start this week into weeks to come on growing up spiritually. Now, I know we had, was it last year we had discovering spiritual growth? Okay, we've had other teachings along that line, but now we want to look at growing up spiritually. And the focus this time around will be to look at our responsibility in growing up spiritually. Quickly, we have several scriptures we're going to look at today. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verse 2 quickly. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. This is almost the clearest epistle, or the clearest sentence in any epistle, about an instruction to grow. But then there's a challenge in that text. It says, as newborn babes. But then the word as is the word H-O-S in the Greek, which implies, and is an adverb, as, okay, which is, it's like such as, or so long as, or like. So it presents something close to a figure of speech. You should have said, newborn babes. You are newborn babes. But it says, as newborn babes, or like newborn babes, or so long as you are newborn babes, so as newborn babes. So it presents something that we need to study it quickly. Because sometimes that verse has been used for new converts. And we must find out whether that's what he was saying. So we have to get background again. Obviously, Peter's letter here must have been a letter that was to promote spiritual growth, just like every other epistle. Okay? But this is very direct. To promote spiritual growth. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Why did he say that? Let's get to chapter 1. Chapter 1 will help us to figure out what he was saying. Verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So, here is all over there, but just Pontus. Elect according to foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Look at verse 3 very closely. It says, because since, look, watch one more thing. You know, as newborn babes, he's talking about birth, or being born, something close to that. So, by saying that, he now says in verse 1, because you check the words, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, hath, past tense, begotten us again, unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says he has begotten us. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes. So, he has begotten us, watch this, is the word anagenial in the Greek. A-N-A-G-E-N-N-A-O. He repeats this word in verse 23. Being born again. So let me just help you to reconstruct that place. Put the word begotten, or he has begotten us again, or we are born again. So you can simply say, we are born again unto a lively hope. Because it's the same word he used, anagenao. Why would he use anagenao? Genao already means to bring forth or to give birth to. Okay, which is used 97 times. Genao is G-E-N-N-A-O. To give birth to. But to use ana implies new. Now, new doesn't mean, pay attention here now, new does not mean the opposite of old. New, rather, is talking about the kind of birth that it is. The kind of birth that it is. And he relates to you what he was talking about. Begotten or being born again. A closer translation would say to reoriginate. In other words, there's an origin, but then you give a new origin. To reoriginate. Okay? New. So he goes further. And he says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would he talk about the power of our Lord Jesus Christ? And he goes to tell you, through or by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, he relates the new birth and identification in the resurrection of Jesus. Are you still out there? And in the resurrection of Jesus, the kind of life, which we call eternal life, is new. That is, it has never been before now. It's not like you were born, then reborn. Stronger than that. That is, it relates this birth to the resurrection. So you can only find this birth in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know some folks have a problem with saying that Jesus was born again. You know, I've had some guys take on people like E.W. Kenyon and, you know, and they try to say that it's an heresy, but I think it's just a misplacement of terms. Alright? The truth is, the resurrection of Jesus was called the new birth. That's clear enough, right? Huh? Come on, I'm telling you. Is that clear enough? Okay. So, he's saying, reborn, or better still, born anew, okay, and he relates it to the resurrection. So, he calls the resurrection, pay good attention, he calls the resurrection the new birth. So, when Jesus was talking in John 3:3, every man be born again, that's why the next message he says, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit. And it's in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, that Jesus was raised from the dead. So, when you talk about being born again or the new birth, you are referring to the resurrection. It's not a change of conduct in any way. Because he calls it genal. Genal is to bring forth, to give birth to. That's not a change of conduct. That's a birth. Are you still there? We're good. So pay attention to that. He uses the word anagenao twice, verse 23. So we're coming to 23 because we want to proceed to chapter 2, verse 2. Now, it says, to an inhabitant, incorruptible and defiled, and that faileth not away, restored in heaven for you. Now pay good attention to this one. Did he call the new birth the inheritance? No. Come on, are you there? So it's not the new birth that is reserved in heaven. He says you were born unto. In other words, when you were born, you were made to look at something. Okay? Not that the new birth is in heaven. No, that's not what he's saying. You were born unto. So he says that in the new birth, because he just told you about a father, which is the word patah. To a father, so by looking at inheritance, said you got this from him. You got something from him that cannot be defiled. Are you still out there? You cannot be defiled. And it makes a lot of sense because he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus. So in other words, we have two things from the resurrection of Jesus. We are born again from that resurrection, and then we have an inheritance from that resurrection. Do you understand that? So you must relate these two things together. You're born again from that resurrection, and then you have an inheritance from that resurrection. Okay, good. So, he says, that resurrection, verse 4, that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in the heaven for you. Now, pay attention. The new birth cannot be reserved for you. You are born again. But there's an inheritance reserved for you. Still out there? Very good. So, verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So when he says who are kept, the question will be, what's kept, you or the inheritance? Because you know the word who can be which, what. So you have a liberty to translate. Are you still there? So, who's kept? Come on, who's kept? To be revealed in the last time. Come on. Huh? I'm not throwing that at you. Who's kept? Now that's where everybody starts to, mama. Who? Okay, what is kept? Because I said what, didn't say who. So you have liberty to say what or who. Not difficult. Pretext. Inheritance. Okay? Wherein you greatly rejoice. You're born again. You're already born again. So he says, which are kept. Now the word kept is the word phroureo in the Greek. I'll spell it for you. P-H-R-O-U-R-E-O. P-H-R-O-U-R-E-O. It's a verb. It's used to gird, to guard something. And then you see 2 Corinthians 11:32. 2 Corinthians 11:32. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with the garrison desires to apprehend me. So, to keep, to hold for you, okay? Galatians 3:23. To guard something, Galatians 3:23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the, I like that, shut up. Under the faith which afterward be revealed, okay? Then got Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7. Certain type of kept is something that was kept away from. Okay, kept away from. That is something taken away from, kept away from. I think you should add that to your translation. Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ, shall keep it away from what? Away from anxiety. Are you there? So, now, to kept me to God, to be guarded, to be revealed. Now, what will be revealed? What will be revealed? That inheritance that was reserved in the heaven. Now, if you've studied all Paul and Epistles, this should not be a problem for you at all. Okay? Which will be revealed in the last time. So, he says, we're born again, alright, unto an incorruptible inheritance, okay, which shall be revealed in the last time. The word revealed is the word apokalupto. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-T-O. Apokalupto. Let's see where it was used similarly. Paul used it in Romans 8:18. Apokalupto. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Are you still there? So obviously we have two kinds of resurrection, or two things happening in the resurrection. There's a new birth, and there's also this inheritance. Are you still there? That shall be revealed in us. We're already born again. We have the spirit of liberty. We have the spirit of sonship. But then he says there's something that will be revealed in us. So Romans 8:18. Also, 1 Corinthians 3:13 shall be revealed. Shall be revealed. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare, because he shall reveal, but shall bring by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work what it is. The two times we've read the word revealed, everything is going to happen at the same time. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Not too good one, but then we'll read it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall, that God shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Son of perdition in the last days. Then verse 6. For now you know that he that withhold, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 6. Verse 8. Then that shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the blackness of his coming. Of his coming. 1 John 3:2. No, before you get to 1 John 3:2, Philippians 3:21. We shall change, watch this now, we shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working way he is able even to subject all things unto himself. So obviously there will be a change of clothes for everyone who is born again. Is that clear? Is that clear? And that will be a revelation. Again, you'll find the same thing in 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2 is beautiful. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now you may not understand what he said unto you, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because they knew him not. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, let's read it together now. It doth not yet appear. Let's take it again. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. No, hold on. It does not appear that we shall be sons. No. What we shall be in the natural. What we shall be. Because the word appears to neurosis, that is to be visible. That is, it's not yet visible what we shall be. But we shall know that, where we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay? That's Revelation. Okay? So, go back to 1 Peter 1. So does verse 4 make sense? 1 Peter 1? Does verse 4 make sense? Okay. So that inheritance that shall be revealed in verse 5 will be what? It will be that glorious body. But not your sonship. You are a son of God already. But that glorious body. Praise the Lord. That glorious body. So, that kept and guarded, reserved in the heaven for you. Is that not what Paul wrote in Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 5? Huh? Same thing. Alright, good. So, quickly, verse 6 to 8, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season if it be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, which being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at what? At the appearing of Jesus. So is this verse consistent, right? It's very consistent. Whom having not seen, I know we use this for miracles, it's fine, but is there, whom having not seen, what's he talking about? He's appearing. You love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. He's not saying that you've not gotten your appointment letter, whom you have not seen. That will be it you have not seen. This is the womb you have not seen. Hallelujah. So he's talking about Jesus Christ at the end of time. Does it make sense? All right. You rejoice. Imagine we have in the Holy Ghost meeting, we say, let's rejoice, expecting the coming of Jesus. Glory. Woohoo. Yeah, go glory. But let's rejoice because the money will come. Woo! Hallelujah. Some guys are so money minded. I was telling a fellow the other day, I shared some of our pastors, and I said, why would a Christian, you're in a bus station, and somebody brings out a pen knife and says, drop your money? As a Christian, and you begin to, the money's in your pocket. You say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And that's not believer's authority, that's covetousness. Isn't life more important? That's not believer's authority. Jesus said, lay up your treasure where thieves don't break in. Jesus recognizes thieves. You allow it. And I'm not making a joke out of this. Because many of the people who taught you to do that, you see them around with soldiers today. How come, sir? You'll be an idiot if you're a turkey and you think because you have wings, you want to fly. You're a turkey. The guy making that boast has a full complement of soldiers. And you got angels. I hope I'm making sense. All right. Thanks be unto God. Whom you see not, you love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believe it. You rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Are you there? Does it make sense? So verse 9 will make sense. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your. So that physical resurrection is the end of your faith. Does it make sense? The word receiving is the word komizo. K-O-M-I-Z-O. Komizo is used oftentimes for a reward or a compensation, but most importantly, a promise kept. And I'll just give you some verses to check on that. Matthew 25 verse 27. Luke 7 37. But then let's read the other ones. Matthew 25, 27. Luke 7, 37. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 uses it for the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 10, the judgment seat of Christ. Same word, komizo. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive, komizo, the things done in his body, according to that which he had done, whether he be good or bad. Ephesians 6, 8. Ephesians 6, 8. You learning something? Knowing that whatsoever good thing, anyway. No, don't forget, don't get me wrong. If you believe as authority, yep, over your life. But the phone you're trying to hassle at the bus station is not your life. The money is not your life. Praise God. Angels weren't sent to keep your money. They said, God, thee, not they. Paul says, everything will perish. Acts 27. All the goods will go, but no life will be lost. Want to give more scriptures? How would you? You hardly even go after souls that way, do you? The guy said, I'm not coming to say, no, you will go. Are you holding the best? But someone takes your phone, you run into a dark place. You will see the Lord Jesus stand on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? Are you sure I'm making sense? Pastor saying I can't use the name of Jesus against evil? You can. But also evil, that's covetousness. You trust God, they take the phone, you believe him, another one will come. I really don't believe, Pastor. I work hard to get it. I get your point. Your blessing. Ephesians 6, 8. Knowing that whatsoever good in any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, komizo, whether be born or free. Same one. Colossians 3:25. Colossians 3:25. Knowing that the Lord of the Lord, that he shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:25. So you see, it's consistent, right? Is it consistent? Hebrews 10:36. You know, it's not really difficult to know why these books were put together. Are you part of that? They just stream together. Praise God. Yes, the difficulty is why they were put together. Alright, what is it? Come on. Hebrews 10, 36. Don't forget it's a promise kept. You have the patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hebrews 10, 36. Hebrews 11, 19. Abraham received a man of figure. Hebrews 11, 19. Talk about Isaac. And Hebrews 11, 39. Received not the promise. Look at 1 Peter 5, 4. 1 Peter 5, 4 will be vital. Why? Because it's in the same letter. Is that clear? 1 Peter 5, 4. Now, you'll be smart to know that you can classify the use of those words. You know, by the time you look at 1 Peter 1 and 9, you can put that in the synonyms where they apply. And you know that Hebrews 11 doesn't apply. Hebrews 11:19 didn't apply. But it applies to Colossians 3:25, Ephesians 6:8, 2 Corinthians 5:10. You get it? That applies. Why? Because 1 Peter 5:4 says, you know, Greek words is not an explanation. You need to see what's the application within the context. It just gives you a way to know the explanation. Now look at this. 1 Peter 5:4. Are you there? When the chief shepherd shall what? Appear. You shall what? Commiso. A crown of glory that fades not away. So does it flow? Alright? Does it flow? So receiving the end of your salvation, okay? The word end is the word telos, the closure or the outcome. Either you have the word closure or outcome. So the end closure, the closure will be what? The salvation of your souls. Now you know that souls doesn't mean mind. Soul means the whole being. So the complete salvation will be at what end? At the end of time. Does it make sense to you? Am I making sense? So, verse 8, 1 Peter 1:9, has it been fulfilled? It will be fulfilled. Are we saved? Yes. Are we gotten to the end of that salvation? No. Are you there? Is that clear? Very good. Salvation of your souls. So that makes sense again. So verse 13. So verse 10 now says, of which salvation them quiet, and certainly they will prophesy of the grace that should come unto you. Such a what manner of Christ, the time the Spirit of Christ was in them to testify beforehand the sons of Christ, and the word that should follow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto all the dimensions of things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent up from heaven, with things the angels desire to look into. Therefore, okay, watch this 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and open the hand, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, he says you're born again, and there's an expectation. All believers with the Spirit of God must have an expectation. Is that very clear? It's supernatural. You have that expectation. And that's what makes us treat earthly things lightly. Are you there? All believers have an expectation. He's saying, gird up your minds. Now, verse 14 is critical. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He says, as obedient children. That gives us some caution. As obedient children, verse 7, since the trial of your faith. Verse 7 uses the word gold, but it doesn't use it as a figure of speech. But verse 14 says, as obedient children. That's serious. So, as obedient children, a better translation should be as children of obedience. As children of obedience. Is the word hupakohe, H-U-P-A-K-O-E, as children of obedience. So let's look at that obedience one more time. Children of obedience. Not as children who obey. No, but as children of obedience. Terrible translation to use the word obedient. It should be obedience. Why? Because of the word hupakohe. Now, watch this now. Because it's old English. Romans 1:5. You learning something? Are you learning something? Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. Among all nations for his name. Obedience to the faith. Romans 5:19. Or obedience of the faith. Romans 5:19. For by one man's disobedience, death, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Obedience of one. So, obedience here, hupakoi, is an action. Is that very clear? Obedience of the faith. So say obedience here is an action. Again, Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom, watch this now, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Upakoe, so it's an action. Then Romans 15:18. Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak of anything of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Action. To make the Gentiles to obey. Romans 16:26. Now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, been made to all nations for what? For the obedience of the faith. Notice that. So go quickly. 2 Corinthians 7:15. 2 Corinthians 7:15. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you while he remembers the obedience of you all. How with fear and trembling you receive him. The obedience of you all. So every time you read the word obedience, it's an action. Have you observed? It's not a continual action, but a singular action. Is that clear? Alright. So 2 Corinthians 10, one more. Verse 5 and 6. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. An action. I've heard people say that obedience there is what Christ has done. No. He says your obedience is fulfilled. That is when you believe. Is that very clear? Alright, it's not Christ's obedience. It's your obedience there. Your obedience is fulfilled. And many folks stop in verse 5 because verse 6 just exposes what you didn't want to say. Is that clear? Okay. Hebrews 5:8. Talking about Jesus. Hebrews 5:8. And though he were a son, yet he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Talking about Jesus. So, 1 Peter 1:2. Pay attention here now. Elect. Go back to 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. So, whose obedience is this? Huh? Is this his obedience or your obedience? My obedience. Okay? My obedience. So, verse 22. Let's jump there and then jump back. Verse 22. Let's take it together. Come on. First Peter 1:2. Let's go. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Stop there. So, that obedience is whose obedience? My obedience. So, what exactly is the obedience is referring to? Believing the gospel. Is that clear? Very good. So, you are children of obedience. You are children of that obedience. So, it says, because you are now born again, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, in your ignorance. The word fashioning yourselves used just 2 times is the word suche matizo. S-U-S-C-H-E matizo. M-A-I-T-M-A-T-I-Z-O. S-U-S-C-H-E-M-A-T-I-Z-O. The same word in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conformed is suche matizo. Every time it's used in classical Greek, it's to have an outward shape, or better still, I think a better translation says, to assume a form. In other words, to remake yourself, to be what you're not. So it says, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts. In other words, it lets you know that those lusts are not yours anymore. So, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts. in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversation. In all manner of conduct. So there's holiness in your conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now verse 17. Are you following this? Verse 17. And if you call, now do you notice that in talking conduct, he lays the foundation of identity before he talks conduct. That's very important. You have to understand how language is used. He lays conduct on identity. He doesn't use conduct to define identity. He wants conduct to be defined by your identity. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Look at 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges everyone according to his man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here and there. Now the word call on Father is is a Greek word, epikalia, E-P-I-K-A-L-E-A. It means to address as, it's active, we'll check it later, is to address as, to address the Father. So if you address as the Father, epikalia, who without of persons judges of persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here, how in here. So, he's teaching judgment. So, he's talking about your conduct. And he's laying the foundation of your conduct on your person, your identity. But he's letting you know that your conduct matters. Can you see it? Can you see it? Your conduct matters. He said, he will try every man's work. Every man's work. He will try. Let's go further. He says, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, this, by the way, I was hearing someone say that the reason, well, when people take bread and the wine called the communion table, that they get eternal life. So somebody was trying to say, and I said, at what point did eternal life enter the wine? And I wasn't joking. Is it from the way he was brewed? We'll put it inside. Said the brewer? He said, no. He said, we'll put it inside. And he's just looking like a dummy. Somebody must have put life in there. Who did it? Not the brewer, not the bottle, not the seller. So who did it? He couldn't say he's pastor. I told him it would have made a lot of sense if that wine you used was from Jerusalem. More than that, not just that. That if that wine had been brewed over 2,000 years ago, and we can trace it to one of the trees Jesus fell as a carpenter. Then I will accept that there's life in the wine. So who did it? He couldn't answer. People are so daft. That if some pastors tell them that Jesus never died, they say, see inside. He wasn't raised from the bed. Go there. He said, man is deep. He himself has never been a believer. Hallelujah. So I asked the question. For the first time, he started thinking, who put the life in the wine? 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 Is it the brewer or the seller? Who put the life in the wine? Life is in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where was I before I got into the wine? Come on, let's go. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ is not a lamb, he's a human being. Okay? Alright. Without spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do you believe in God? Hallelujah. I like that. Woo! Who by him do you believe in God? That raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and your faith and hope might be where? In God. Seeing you have purified your souls. Are you still there? In obeying the truth. The word purify is very different. It's the word agnizo. Don't forget the word souls. The word souls refers to what? Your life. You have purified your life. The word souls, that's what life. Don't ever think soul is mind. Soul is not mind. Soul includes your spirit. I've explained that to you. Is that clear? It also includes your body. Alright. Agnizo. To cleanse. Now, the word agnizo can be ceremonially used just like Acts 21:25. Acts 21:25. Ceremonial purification. Acts 21:25. As certain the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Now the word keep themselves is the word agnizo, to cleanse yourself. Verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and next day purified themselves with them, that is, purified himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification on an offering that should be offered for every one of them. So notice the word agnizo is ceremonial, but it was used unceremoniously in verse 25 to keep from. So whenever I use the agnizo, it is from something, from dirt or from defilement. Acts 24:18. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. So it's away from something or against something. Pay attention here. James 4:8 says, cleanse your heart. Alright. James 4:8 says what? Agnizo. James 4:8. Draw near to God and he shall draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, purify your hearts from being double-minded. So, you purify from or away from or against. 1 John 3:3. If you expect the coming of Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 3:3 says, every man that have this hope in himself, in him, purifies himself even as he is pure. He purifies himself. So it's against. So whenever you see the word agnizo, it is against a defilement, or better to write this down, a prevention. So go back to 1 Peter 1. It's a prevention. 1 Peter 1. You purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, you purified yourself against unto unfeigned love of the brethren. The word love of the brethren is the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia will be philia, philios, which is a friendly love, friendly affection, something you like and you're fond of. That's the word philia. Then you have the word adelphos, which is brotherly. That is, you come from the same family. So, that is, you love those that are in your family in a fondness. That is, you must like them. Something like that. You must like them. Philadelphia. And you'll find it used several times as well by Paul. Romans 12:10. Let's say it together. Romans 12:10. So you see, Peter gives a whole lot of conduct in his letter. Can you see it? Romans 12 and 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Kindly affectioned with brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. As such in brotherly love, you need not I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Hebrews 13, 1. Let brotherly love continue. So what about sisterly love? Brother means, pay attention, adelphos, brethren. You came from the same womb. It's not male, nor female. Is that okay? Don't say, let sisterly love also continue. No. Don't be funny. It just means brotherly. It simply means brethren. Is that clear? It's just like, you know, on the day of Pentecost, where it said men and brethren, he didn't just turn to the male and left the female alone. Does it make sense to you? So brethren is collective for male and female. So brotherly love continue. But I know some guys are very strange with Bible words. They say, oh, that guy is that. One person they call him brethren. Call one person a brethren. It's quite exegetical. So he gives us an instruction to like believers. Whether the believer is tush or bush. Isn't that true? Some believers are tush, some are bush. Don't you see it? So you love them either way. Hallelujah. Walking in love is quite the test of Christianity. You'll have to accept someone who is not your class as your brother. You know, I'll be giving the natural example. Assuming your dad just came on one day and said, you have a brother, I never told you all. And then the guy comes in, is all messed up in his dressing. You say, good morning. Doesn't know what you said. You feel like, my brother? And the guy says, you get it, he says, maybe he wants to wee-wee. And he just gets somewhere very close by. You're angry with your father for having that kind of son. But if someone else comes, they say, you have this brother I never told you. And then the guy's on Fox. Say, Daddy, there's no issue with this. I've always known you're a wise man. You get the point? In Christianity, that guy's your brother. God is the Father we've been talking about. Hallelujah. You have to stick to that. If you really love God, you have to love His Son. His sons. The one that is tush or the one that is bush? Praise God. Are you still there? No, you say, oh somebody, tell him that. You know that song? Put your hands together. You turn and say, eh? Somebody, tell him that you love. I love you. Put your hands together. Say, you have to put your hands together. Don't move so close. Put your hands together. I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's another song. He sang, come, let's worship together. You know that song? Is there something wrong with you, brother? Sorry. So I said, what kind of song is that? Is that an email? No. Brother. Okay, now. So, verse 23. Why should I love my brother? You know, we like to quote verse 23. You are lifted. Can you see how we got there? Can you see how we got to 23? Good. Love the brethren, love one another with a pure heart. No, he said pure heart. Don't say pure heart. Say pure heart. Not that you are telling someone, I love you in the name of Jesus. And you look at me. And the guy said, I love you. Don't bother. Let me be the one to love. Pure heart. You know, many folks show love in hypocrisy. Just like some people know how to preach prayer. They say prayer is the word desis. I tell desis. What a Greek word. What's the other Greek? Heals. Prosikomai. There's another one. He will teach chano. So come on, let's pray. Guy says, I thank you, my father. See? Are you a Lazarus grave? You must be Lazarus. Being born again, praise God. Not of corruptible seed. Or better still, having been born again. In other words, we have the capacity to love in purity. Why? Because we have been born again. Hallelujah. We have been born again. Don't forget, when was the first time we read the word born again? Verse 3. Being born again. Hallelujah. Being born again. In other words, just like in Jesus' resurrection, we are found born. Being born again. That is not of corruptible seed. So the word seed is vital to us now. Now, the word seed here is the word spora. It's different from 1 John 3:9. And I'll tell you why. 1 John 3:9 uses the word sperma. S-P-E-R-M-A. 43 times you find it. S-P-E-R-A. Pay very good attention. It says whatsoever. Let's look at it together. We're going to make sense shortly. 1 John 3. He that commits sin is of the devil, and the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God, was the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. Look at verse 9. Let's take verse 9 together. 1 John 3, let's go. Whatsoever is born of God does not commit. Come on, let's take it again. Whatsoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. For his seed remaineth in him. Pay great good attention here. You were sleeping before, wake up. Now, sperma, very good, sperma is used oftentimes for a descendant. Because, you know, some people have assumed that the word sperma means sperm. That's too transliterated. Okay? Sperma is used for persons. Okay? Is used for persons. Let's look at several places used now. You have it. You have it in 43 places. Let's check Matthew 13:25. Matthew 13:25. The kingdom of heaven, verse 24, is like a man that who sowed a seed into his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Matthew 13:24-25. To sow seed here. So we're going to find out what did he use seed for. As you go further, in verse 37, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Let's take verse 38 together. The field is the world. The good seed are what? The children of the kingdom. So hold on, just hold on there. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So let's look at the word sperma. Acts 3:25. Seed. Acts 3:25. You are the children of the prophets. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. The word sperma. In thy seed. Acts 7:5. Same thing. Acts 7:5. To his seed after him, when he yet had no child. Acts 7:5. Acts 7:6. That his seed shall sojourn in a strange land. Acts 13:23. Of this man's seed shall God, according to his promise, raise unto Israel for Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 13:23. So go to Romans 1:3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Sperma. Romans 4:13. For the promise that he will be heir of the world was unto Abraham and to his seed. Sperma. Romans 4:16. Therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans 4:16. Romans 4:18. So shall thy seed be. Romans 4:18. Romans 11:1. I say, I'm an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. Romans 9:7 and 8. I skipped that. Sorry for that. 9:7. The children of the promise are counted for the seed. Romans 9:8. Romans 9:7, same thing, the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed, sperma. Galatians 3:19. Till the seed shall come to whom the promise was made. Galatians 3:19. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ, are you Abraham? Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you following this? Right, Hebrews 11:18. Of whom it shall be said, it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed, sperma, be called. Hebrews 2:16. I skipped that too. Sorry. Hebrews 2:16. For verily he took on him the nature of angels that he took, but he took, sorry, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, that is, the child. So, go back to, one more. 1 Corinthians 15:38. And God gives it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. 1 Corinthians 15:38. So go back to 1 John 3:9. So 1 John 3:9 will be sperma, which will be a descendant or a child or someone that you gave birth to. So let's look at how it sounds. Does it flow? Does it flow now? Does it flow? Let me see how it flows. Because verse 7 says, literally, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Praise God. Even as who is righteous? God is righteous. Is that clear? Look at verse 8. He that commits sins of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning, for this, thou said the devil sins from the beginning, is he the devil commit fornication from the beginning, which who? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let's take 9 together. Whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him. Hallelujah. Remains where? Who is the him? Hallelujah. Who is the him? So if his seed will be his descendants, does not commit sin. Okay? It remains in him, pardon me. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. So the word seed there is referring to birth. Is that clear? Is that clear? And in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whatsoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither doth he that loves not his brother. Does it make sense? Okay, so he uses the word sperma for descendant. So spora is different. Spora is a noun and feminine noun. Spora refers to the act itself. The act of the birthing. You know, sperma is what was born. Is that clear? Spora will be how it was born. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, so go back to 1 Peter 1:23. So the seed of God does not abide in you. You are the seed of God. Is that clear? Is it clear? Uh-huh. So 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Or, if I'm going to write it today, corruptible sowing. But incorruptible. Praise God. In other words, he's saying that this birth cannot be corrupted. Whatever comes out of this birth is perfect. Is that clear? Is that clear? Being born again, not of corruptible sowing, spora. We know why it can be corrupted. Because he says through the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. So if we're born from that resurrection, there cannot be a corruption in there. That is, everybody born again is born the same way. Is that clear? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but it doesn't use incorruptible seed. Alright? It just says, not of corruptible seed. The word corruptible is the word perishable. Used for, pay attention now. Don't lose this one. When it is used, it's used for natural things. Romans 1:23. The glory of the incorruptible for the corruptible. Romans 1:23. So he makes incorruptible man. Romans 1:23. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Corruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. 1 Corinthians 15:53. Come at this one. 1 Corinthians 15:53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15:54. And when this corruption shall have put on incorruptibility. So, it uses the word, pay attention, perishable. P-T-H-A-R-T-O-S. It's used for mortal things, earthly and temporal. Mortal, earthly and temporal. It's going to make sense shortly. P-T-H-A-R-T-O-S. Incorruptible. Go back to verse 18. Verse 18 uses the word corruptible. Forasmuch as you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now pay good attention now. So he says, you are born again, not of incorruptible seed, but incorruptible. Not of corruptible seed, pardon me, but of incorruptible, which it uses in Romans 1:23 to describe God. Incorruptible God. Romans 1:23, the one we just read. Romans 1:23. He says, uncorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible man. So it distinguishes man from God, using the word corruptible and incorruptible. Are you following this? 1 Corinthians 9:25 also distinguishes what belongs to this earth, corruptible crown, say, but we receive an incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 9:25. 1 Corinthians 15:52 makes a distinction between an earthly body and the mortal body and the immortal body. So it makes a contrast. Look at 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. Use that for God. Unto him, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. 1 Peter 1:4. So it describes what God does. 1 Peter 1:4. Undefiled, incorruptible, that doesn't fade away. So 1 Peter 1:23. Before we go to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 3:4. Hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, but the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. 1 Peter 3:4. So, look at it closely to what he's saying. For the word of God, of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides how? Forever. So, this birth, whatever this birth produces, is what? So if it describes our inheritance, which is reserved in the heavens as undefiled, it shows you that that inheritance, the physical body, bears the character of our birth. So the birth of this man, who is called a believer, a son of God, the birth of that fellow is eternal. That is, the birth is eternal. It's an eternal birth. So, the inheritance, you know, inheritance follows relationship. The inheritance doesn't define us. We define that inheritance. We define that body. That body is called undefiled because we are not defilable. Do you understand that? Okay, so pay good attention to this. And you see why Peter had to lay this foundation strongly. The next verse explains it. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withered, and the flower thereof falls away. He's saying, man, pay attention, does not last forever. Man and all his glory can last forever because it's flesh. So, but this man, because of the spora, the birth of this man, he will be eternal. Does it make sense now? He will be eternal. So what Peter first of all does is to let you see the foundation for spiritual growth. You don't grow into sonship. It's undefiled, incorruptible. It's eternal. Your state, alright, as a son is an eternal state. Are you there? Your inheritance, the physical body that bears the character of who you are, is undefiled and is eternal. So, having laid that foundation, watch this now, this is careful. It says, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures how? Forever. Now, of course, pay attention. He's quoting the Old Testament. Okay? He's quoting the Old Testament by saying, all flesh is as grass. And he says, but the word of the Lord endures forever. He's quoting the Old Testament. And he's letting you see that the man, if the word of the Lord endures forever, he says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Notice that he separates the word from the gospel. He is saying the content of the news is that word that endures forever. And being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. So he's saying to us that the believer, listen now, the believer, the born again man, he has the characteristics of the word of God. His birth process is the word. So we can safely say the word of God and the believer, they have the same nature. We endure forever. It stays forever. So having said that, look at this now. Praise God. I said praise God. So we are born into an eternal state. You don't grow into this. Because if you have to grow into it, it's not eternal. You're born into an eternal state, Peter. Then he says, wherefore? Because of this. Because of what? Hallelujah. Because of what? Because you are born of the word. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Because you are born of the gospel. Because you are born of the word. Wherefore? Because of this. So, listen now. One is primary, the other is secondary. One leads to the other. He's going to teach us spiritual growth. But he's about to tell you what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth does not affect your birth. Spiritual growth is a fruit of your birth. Not making sense here. Spiritual growth is a fruit of your birth. So, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakers. Let's check the word laying aside. What does it mean? It's a Greek word, apothemi. A-P-O. Now, every time you find the word apo is to take away. Can you remember? Away. Apothemi. Used 9 times. I'm going to go through all the 9 times. Matthew 14 verse 3. Apothemi. Now, look through these examples very well. Matthew 14 verse 3. Sometimes when the word is used in a doctrine, it will get your understanding more when it's used in a story. So Matthew 14 verse 3. For Herod had laid a hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake. His brother, Philip's wife, I laid him hold on John and bound him. So, whatever you put away is not you. Pay attention now. Acts 7:58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Something they could do without. It's not you. They did not lay themselves at his feet. They were his clothes. Their clothes. Not you. Now good, good. Follow this. Romans 13:12. The night is fast spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Okay? And let us put on the armor of light. The works of darkness. It shows you their foreign and their strength. Ephesians 4:22. All the writers of the epistles use the same word. All of them. And they were all saying the same thing. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concern the former conversation of the old man, of the old man, which is corruptible lust. Put off. The former conversation. Why would you use former conversation? The word former means what was behind you. So it's always what is not with you and what is not in you. Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25. Are you learning something? Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Why did he say that? Because verse 24 says that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:8. And now you also put off all this: anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. How can you say something came out of my mouth and say it doesn't come from me? He says, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Can you imagine? He said, I lived in something, yet you have said I should put it off from my mouth. I thought you would say, which you live in. No, you don't live in them anymore. Hallelujah. So it's always secondary. Something that is not in you. That kind of strength. That to really receive this is by faith. I'm struggling with this habit. He said, it's not your habit. I'm saying, no, but I know myself. I don't know how to talk. I talk anyhow. He said, It's a conversation of the old man. He said, well, come on, I still did it yesterday. He said, They are the works of darkness. Just cast it off. I mean, these are things I do regularly. He says, it's not you being born again, not of corruptible seed. Hallelujah. So, come on, let's go further. Hebrews 12:1. Same word. All of them use the same word. Hebrews 12:1. And every time they used it, they use it after they had described who you are. They without us should not be made perfect. Therefore, seeing we are encompassed with great cloud, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. The word weight simply means it's not in you. How kind of strange. Lay aside every weight. Hebrews 12:1. James 1:21. Lay aside every filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Why would he say lay aside? Because he told you in 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his creature. You are born of his word. So he says, lay aside every filthiness or superfluity of naughtiness. Then he goes for us to say, when you hear the word, it's like you're looking into a mirror and seeing yourself. Hallelujah. So every time the word apple, the term is used, it's used for a conduct that is not found in you. A conduct that is not found in you. Spiritual growth is not trying to be a nice person, trying to be kind. Spiritual growth, you're trying to be kind and trying to be a kind person, you are in works of the flesh. But you see, if you first of all realize that you are kind, okay, that is how spiritual growth starts. You must first of all know that you are kind. If you are trying to be kind and you are eventually kind, you did not grow. You must first of all know that you are kind. Am I making sense here? You can produce works of kindness and they are works of the flesh. And you can produce works of kindness and they are works of the spirit. Works of the flesh, because you are trying to do something to justify yourself. But works of the spirit, because you know you're already justified. And these are, you are a new creature in Christ. Alright? Bible says you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ unto good works. In other words, you see the works not as a function of something you try to do to be justified, but as a fruit of your justification. Are you there? So, the first one is self-help. You are in the flesh. The other one is spiritual growth. I am kind. I'm born of the incorruptible seed of the gospel. I purified my soul, my being, by believing the gospel. Hallelujah. I know that already. So I lay aside, is as much as saying reject. Are you there? Reject it. That is, strip yourself of foreign stuff. Take it away. It's like cleaning a cloth that has dirt. The dirt didn't come with the cloth. It's not part of it. The dirt came on the cloth. That's just a weak example, but I'm trying. So, it's the same thing. Put it away. You are kind. You are a wonderful person. You were born of that incorruptible seed. A spora. You are lovely. Praise God. You're not seeming as a delight. No, you are not. You do righteous. Because he is righteous. His seed doesn't commit sin. Because why? His seed is where? In him. I am in him. Perfect. So that is where spiritual growth starts with identity. You don't grow into identity. That is what? You grow from identity. Are you still there? So, James 1:21, same thing. Therefore, so we can say, because you're born again, lay aside this. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2, learning something? As newborn babes, I say newborn babes, as figure of speech. Why is it as newborn babes? You know why he had to use as? Because he used the word babes. Because you can't tell me of incorruptible seed, then call me a babe. So, by bringing the figure of speech, is explaining actions, not your nature. The same thing Paul did in 1 Corinthians 3:1. As newborn babes, pay attention, desire the sincere milk of the word. The word newborn, come on, let's look at that. The word newborn babe, pay attention. Newborn, sorry, is the word artigenetos. I'll spell it for you. ARTIGENOTOS. ARTIGENNETOS. Hallelujah. So the word artigenetos is a new creature. New creation. Not a new convert. That verse is not for a new convert. Because when it says, as newborn, don't put the word babes together with it. Separate it. It's not a compound word. As newborn, how are we newborn? Of incorruptible seed. How are we newborn? From the resurrection of Jesus. So, he says, babes. The word babes will rather describe an attitude we all must have towards the word. Are you there? Because he's talking about growth. As newborn, babes desire the sincere milk of the word. We'll see that explanation much next week. But, he uses the word babes, brephos. Brephos refers to infanthood. Paul used the same thing for Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now we found out that when he said from a child, he was not talking about his infant stage in the natural, but he's talking about from a child spiritually, you have known the scriptures. We'll see that later. So it says, as newborn, so let me ask you, are you newborn now? Yes, you are. You will always be newborn. You are born new, born again. Are you there? Okay. So desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. King James, just a very terrible translation in this one. The word thereby is the word soteria. So that's what salvation. That you may grow in what? Salvation. The word grow is the Greek word auxano, A-U-X-A-N-O. That you may grow. So it says desire. That you may grow. Oxano. He uses the same word in the second letter he wrote them. Two times he instructs them on growth. Grow in grace. Oxano. To increase. Do you know why he will have to use that word as a figure of speech? Because he just called you eternal. Are you there? So he will have to use figures of speech to describe growth. That growth does not affect your nature. It must affect something else apart from your nature. Are you there? So he uses the word as. Grow, oxano. You cannot grow what is incorruptible. I feel this. But because he just told you, you will lay aside. So laying aside and growing will happen at the same time. You will not lay aside to grow. You will lay aside because you are growing. Pay attention now. And you will lay aside because you are growing. How are you growing? The milk of the word. So, again, the word milk will be qualified as we study. You grow. When you grow in grace, again, is qualified. So, spiritual growth, I'll close, must be deliberate to grow thereby. So, if you have a translation that has thereby, that's King James, just say to salvation. Grow in salvation, or grow by salvation. Look at verse 3. If you are so tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have so tasted. So, tasted, past tense, we'll sort this later. So it says grow. So, grow from what you have tasted. You are not increasing what you have tasted. You are not increasing who you are. Then what increases? We'll check it. So growth must be deliberate. So, he uses the word oxano. Let me just round off on this one. That you may grow thereby. Desire. I think we know what's desire. Desire is an old word. By the time you see how it is used, you understand what growth is. E-P-I-P-O-T-H-E-O. A people feel. Desire. Look at Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. I long to see you. I long to see you. So they are far from him. 2 Corinthians 5:2. For in this we grow, earnestly desiring to be close upon. 2 Corinthians 5:2. 2 Corinthians 9:14. For by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Philippians 1:8. Philippians 1:8. How greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:26. For he longed after you that he was full of evidence because that you heard that he had been sick. 1 Thessalonians 3:6.
But now, when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us, desiring greatly to see us, that we also to see you. 2 Timothy 1:4. So it describes a journey. 2 Timothy 1:4. Will desire to see thee, be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So, in other words, pay attention to this. When you find that word used, it's like there is something you want to attain. You want to attain something. There's a person you want to see. There are people you want to look at. So, there's something you want to attain. So, it describes a journey or a process. And notice, it must be deliberate. So spiritual growth is not your right in Christ, but it comes from who you are in Christ. It must be a deliberate. It is that you will grow. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So spiritual growth, so that desire is how you grow. You can be hearing the word of God and you are not desiring it. You are just there when it is taught. So, spiritual growth has to be there. Don't forget that the term we are using for growth, and as we are going to study it, you see, are figurative expressions. Because the Son of God does not grow. Is that clear? They are figurative expressions. What is the growth we will see? And what is the actions that we take? We'll examine it. Amen. We best. It's our hesitation.